We're really pleased, as I mentioned a second ago, as Rabbi Sobolovsky gave the first year of the night on Hilchos Nida, we are pleased and honored to have Rav Sobolovsky with us. Rav Sobolovsky is someone who I am honored to call a Rebbe of mine. I was never zochet to be in the shir, but over the years, through many shailas, Rav Sobolovsky and his wife made my shidduch, so we Baruch Hashem are zochet to a wonderful relationship, and it's a thrill and a kavod to have him. He's also my Rebbe in a very particular way that I want to share with you briefly before he begins. Rabbi Peer and I often discuss how wonderful, Baruch Hashem, how wonderful, really, really, truly wonderful this kol is, and how wonderful the community is, and how wonderful our life is here. But we do miss yeshiva. We miss being in yeshiva. So we often kind of talk about the things we miss from yeshiva. And every single time, without fail, one of the main things that we mention is that we miss a very particular thing about Rav Sobolovsky, and I'll tell it to you by way of a story, not about Rav Sobolovsky. They say a story that one of the Ishbitzer Rebbes, the Beis Yaakov, he used to give a shir to his chassidim in the middle of the night. He would start at the midnight, and he would go till 4 a.m. And there was a bala bus who used to go to the shir, and it was clear that he was lower level than everyone else. He wouldn't really chap the inyani chassidis, the kabbalah that was being discussed at 4 a.m. It wasn't for him, it wasn't for his level. And they asked him one time, what did you gain from the shir? So he says, I was up for 4 hours in the middle of the night, and I was at a shir that I didn't understand. I didn't get anything from the tochen. I didn't get any of the chassidus. I didn't get any of the kabbalah. But I will never forget how the Rebbe kissed his svarim as he put them away. And Rabbi Peer and I often mention how much we miss Rav Sobolovsky kissing his svarim. And we mean it literally, the way he kisses his svarim. But the ahavas haTorah, the mesikas haTorah, the sweetness of Torah that comes, that you get to observe, that you get to see, you don't get to see that in too many places. So to see someone who is in learning in the Beis Medrash, in the YU Beis Medrash, to see him harving and learning, so that's such a chaval, we miss it very much. But a little bit, a glimpse of it you get to see also now, as he gives over a shir, the love for Torah, the thrill that he gives us in Torah, so you'll have a chance to observe it yourselves, and I would encourage everyone to treasure it, to cherish it, to take advantage of it, and to grow from it. So without further ado, we ask Rav Sobolovsky to share the Torah with us.
Make it look a little nice.
Okay, no problem. All
right.
Here's your water.
Okay. It's good. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Only water in my Torah. It's good. It's all good. Actually, I was not going to use these sheets, but I'm going to have to kiss them because our stomach said that it's obviously I have not even no sperm here. I don't know what he was talking about. I usually don't even have sperm. A couple of years ago, somebody introduced me to give a shiur, and they started off with this unbelievable mashal about a quarterback and a football game. I had no idea what in the world they were talking about. So I remember when I started to get up to say the shiur, I said, this is the first time that anybody ever compared me to a quarterback. So I'm going to rub my stomach. It's the first time anyone ever compared my shiur to the Ishbitz's sichas at 2 o'clock in the morning. And maybe you could tell the similarities, but we may highlight some of the differences right now. But Eilav Eilav Diver like Imchayim, we hope, at least my part. The Ishbitz's for sure, hopefully mine as well. So I wanted to share a little bit of time today, of course, as we're already into Chodesh Adar. Talk a little bit about one of the mitzvahs Hayom Purim, the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. The mitzvah Mishloach Manos, I think if I'm not mistaken, the catchy phrase was something along the lines of the truth and myths, or myths and fiction, fact and fiction, something along those lines. Because strangely enough, there's a lot of fiction around the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. A lot of strange rumors flying around about what people think you have to do or don't have to do in order to perform the mitzvah Mishloach Manos properly. So we're going to try to understand it, al pi halacha, what really the halacha requires of us to perform this wonderful mitzvah, one of the mitzvah Yom Purim. So, of course, the source for Mishloach Manos is a pasuk explicitly in the Megillah, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu. It's one of the many mitzvah Yom that we perform on Purim, so we want to try to perform it properly. There is a major machlokes already in the earlier poskim as to what the purpose of this mitzvah is all about. Why is it that Chazal instituted this mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? And if we understand why Chazal instituted it, then that may shed some light on some of the parameters and some of the details how to perform this mitzvah properly. So there are really two different approaches in the earlier poskim as to what the thrust, what the essence of this mitzvah, what we are trying to accomplish with Mishloach Manos. So the Trumas HaDeshen suggests that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is really to make sure that everybody has a Sudas Purim. Not all that different than the mitzvah of Matanas Lavion. Matanas Lavion is to make sure that the Aniyim have a Sudas Purim, but the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to make sure that everybody has a Sudas Purim. And the Baal Plumta, the one who disagreed with the Trumas HaDeshen, was someone who was very, very popular, someone who we know from a little bit of a different context, the Reb Shlomo Alkabetz. Reb Shlomo Alkabetz is famous for writing the Lechadodi that we say on Friday night, but he also wrote a sefer on Miguel Sester called the Manas HaLevi. And in the sefer Manas HaLevi, he takes a different approach to the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, that the goal of Mishloach Manos is not so much pseudo-oriented, but it's simply Lahavros Reyos. It's just to kind of give good cheer and good friendship and love, Nachtus within Klai Yisrael. Perhaps it's a throwback to the fact that in the days immediately preceding Purim, Yeshlo Amechad Mefuzah Mefar Ben Amin, perhaps there was a little bit of too much arguing and bickering within the Jewish people, so perhaps it's a tikkun for that, Mefuzah Mefurad. But the goal of the mitzvah is not so much to literally provide a suda, but rather the goal is just simply to add a little bit of good feeling and good brotherhood and shiur within the Jewish people. So that idea that Mishloach Manos is very pseudo-oriented, which is the approach that the Trumas HaDeshen takes, can potentially have some very, very real nafkaminis and very practical differences lahalocha. So there is a general question about the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. How much do I have to give something to somebody that it's really a pseudo-oriented kind of a food? If one takes the Trumas HaDeshen to its conclusion, then one would think that it would really make sense to fulfill the mitzvah properly. You have to give something that the person literally can eat. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to actually eat it. He may not want to eat because you're the 77th Shalach Manos that he has that year. But he may not actually serve that to Suda, but it should be something that one would at least think in their, at least in imagination, this is a Suda kind of a food. If one takes that approach, then one has to raise a little bit of a question about some of the Mishloach Manos that are floating around. Now, I'm not questioning all the beautiful, wonderful themes and the artwork and all the work that Hawaii has put into the Shalach Manos, but the question becomes, can one really justify fulfilling the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos if the food is not really pseudo-oriented? So if I give a person a half a hamantash and a raisin, and it's hard to believe that anyone can have that as really part of the suda, is that really a fulfillment of Mishloach Manos? So if you go down the route of the Manas HaLevi of Shlomo HaKavetz, that Mishloach Manos is not so much suda-oriented, so then it's hard to say that anything would be disqualified. But according to the Trumas HaDeshen, maybe one could argue that would not really be a fulfillment of Mishloach Manos. So what we try to do in our family is as follows. We also have many, many people, Baruch Hashem, the Rav Mishul, so many, many people give us Mishloach Manos. We give many, many people Mishloach Manos. But I try to make sure that at least one of the Mishloach Manos, because after all, the halacha is Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, you have to give to, each person has to give to two people. Two foods to one person. Two people. Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, two foods to one person. So I try to make sure that one Mishloach Manos is proper Kedas U'Chedin. So usually the day before Purim, I'll go to the store and I'll buy some pack of kokots and some other fancy dish or something. And I'll make sure right after Kriyas Megillah, so I'll hand it off to one person. Hini mucham zuma lekayim mitzvahs esei shel Mishloach Manos. Then the rest of the day, you can give whatever hamantashen and raisins and other all sort of things that no one ever in a million years you were putting on their suda table, and that would be okay. So again, some machmer for that idea that at least one Mishloach Manos should be something that's really up to par. If one takes that approach that Mishloach Manos is very suda oriented. So then, what would the halacha be in the following case? What if I give Mishloach Manos to somebody that they will not use for the suda because they cannot use it for the suda? Why can they not use it for the suda? Perhaps they can't use it for health reasons. Perhaps they cannot use it for kashrus reasons. Now, I'm not saying the food is treif, but they may not like the hashkoch on that food. So what's the din? Or they may have certain chumr, certain kepedis that I don't have. So let's say, for example, if a person gives a milchik Mishloach Manos to somebody, and that person you're giving it to happens to be someone who's machped on Chol of Yisrael, and you gave him something that wasn't Chol of Yisrael. Well, let's say you're giving it to somebody who doesn't eat that particular hashkoch, they don't eat that particular shechita. So would that be an acceptable form of Mishloach Manos? So again, if you go down the route of the Trumas HaDeshen, that Mishloach Manos is really supposed to provide for a person's suda, so that would, of course, raise a little bit of a question, can that be a fulfillment of Mishloach Manos? There is another common shayla that comes up in terms of Mishloach Manos. What if I bring somebody Mishloach Manos and they're not particularly interested in receiving that Mishloach Manos? Why is that? Well, I know exactly why that's true. I can tell exactly what happens in our house. Probably happens in everybody's house here as well. It's already 5:30. We're already well into our Purim Suda, and that one last straggler comes rolling in thinking that this is exactly what I've been waiting for. Another Hamantash together with another bottle of wine. I have, Baruch Hashem, enough bottles of wine to last me for Dalekaisis ad the B.S. Goyal and then some. And he hands me the other one. Now, of course, I take a look at that bottle of wine and I see that Simon Muvok that I made in that bottle of wine 3 years ago, because I wanted to see how many years it would take till it comes back to me. So lo and behold, he returned that same bottle of wine that I happened not to like. That's why I gave it to the other guy 3 years ago. And that same Hamantash that I probably gave 3 years ago also. So I'm not interested in receiving the Shalach Manos. So I say to the fellow as follows, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. It's a mochel, a moichel, the Shalach Manos to you. And the poor guy says, but this was the only Shalach Manos. My entire Purim is hinging. Shki is in 30 seconds. I'm hinging on the Shalach Manos. Can he be Yaitse Mishalach Manos if I'm mochel on the Shalach Manos? This was a big machlekes of poskim. So one of the svaras that some poskim say that, if you hold that Mishloach Manos is just lahavos reyus, it's just for good shear. Nobody really cares whether you can eat the Shalach Manos. Nobody cares about the real goal. It's just everyone should be happy and smiley. So he made me very happy, very smiley. I'm thrilled to get back the old wine from 3 years ago. So he was my bereyus. So maybe that's good enough. Whereas if you hold that the goal is to literally provide me with the suda, so you have to be a real lamdan to be able to eat mechila. It means, lamaisa, I'm moichel on it. How am I going to eat it? I was moichel on the hamitash. So I'll be lamdan so I can eat the hamitash. Lamaisa, I don't have the hamitash. I'm not going to eat it. So what kind of mishloach manos is that? So again, that would be a question that the poskim have. Would mechila be acceptable or not? Especially if we put the focus on the suda part, but even if we tone down the suda part a little bit, it is clear that mishloach manos has to be food. One cannot be yotze mishloach manos with money. One has to be yotze b'tasav yonim, you can give him money, but mishloach manos has to be done with food. And we assume it's supposed to be a food that is edible in the state that it's in. So let's say I give a person a raw chicken. I give him a raw chicken and a bag of potatoes or something. So he could turn it into chicken, turn it into potato oil, but he can't do it right now. So is that acceptable for mishloach manos? So we usually assume that that's a problem. There is a comment of the Netziv, where the Netziv thinks that maybe it would be acceptable, and he brings a raya from Parshas Tetzave, which happens to be very cute, because Parshas Tetzave is always Parshas Zohar, except when it's a Shalom Uberes. So the Netziv says, if you look at Parshas Tetzave, it says that they gave Moshe Rabbeinu the V'hoya L'chol HaManah, they gave him the part from the Korban Shlomim, from the Korban HaMiluim, and it was not yet cooked, it was raw meat, V'hoya L'chol HaManah. So says the Netziv, you see from here, that the word manah, Manos means it could even be a raw food that would also be acceptable. Notwithstanding that the Shtickel Torah from the Netziv, we usually try to avoid that. So it's supposed to be something that's food, it's supposed to be something that's edible, and there is a question in the Rishonim whether a beverage is good enough. The Minhag HaOlam is Lahokyo, the Mishnah Berurah is Mekel, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even mention that anybody disagrees with this, but there are some who point out that Rabbeinu Chananel in his parish in the Gemara Masechet Megillah seems to hold that a beverage actually would not be good. So that would, of course, throw into question all those people who are Yotzei Mishloach Manos with bottles of wine and other things with that bottle of wine. Again, our Minhag is like the Mishnah Berurah. We assume the halacha that most poskim say that would be acceptable. So again, the item of the Mishloach Manos clearly has to be food. Preferably should be food that is royal lekach to be eaten right away. Preferably should be something that can be associated, at least in some shape or form, some creative imagination, with the Suda's Purim. These are in terms of what the heftza, so to speak, of Mishloach Manos is all about. There are other halachas that govern Mishloach Manos, Mishloach Manos are really supposed to be two different manos, supposed to be two different things. The Rambam describes Shnei Minei Boso. The Rambam says what a great thing to do is you give a guy two pieces of meat. Now you can't just take a piece of chicken and cut it to half. It has to be two minim. It has to be two different kinds of meat, or it could be two other kinds of foods. It is clear as day that the Rambam understood that even though all meat, the correct bracha on meat is shahakol, there is absolutely nothing wrong in any shape or form in anybody who actually says that Mishloach Manos required two brachas. It is one of those fictions that we were taught when we were in nursery, and we never, many of us never outgrew that fiction. There is no halacha that it has to be two different brachas. Last we check in the Rambam, the bracha on all meat is shahakol. The Rambam says Shnei Minei Basar is perfectly okay. When we talk about the mitzvah Mishloach Manos, so the Megillah uses a little bit of a strange phrase. It uses Mishloach. So that word Mishloach conjures up a little bit of an image in our mind that maybe that refers to a shlichus, like a lashon shlichus. Now we know that many mitzvahs we can perform ayadei shliach. The general rule is that mitzvahs that are mitzvah shebagufo, so anything that involves my body itself, let's say I have to put on tefillin, so although some of us are sometimes tired in the morning, we cannot call a guy up the night before and say, listen, do me a favor, be my shliach, give me a few dollars, you put on tefillin tomorrow morning, have me in mind. So shlichus doesn't work on a mitzvah shebagufo, but mitzvahs that don't involve my body, so generally speaking, I can do a mitzvah ayadei shliach. So there's nothing wrong with giving mishloach manos ayadei shliach. The question is there any reason specifically to do it ayadei shliach? So there is a tshuva that was written by the Binyan Tzion. The Binyan Tzion was written by Reb Yaakov Ettlinger. He was famous in his own right, but he was also famous. He was the Rebbe of Reb Shimshon Fal Hirsch. He was one of the Gedolei Olam in the 1800s in Germany. And he writes in his tshuvas, Binyan Tzion, that maybe the halacha requires specifically to be done ayadei shliach, because the pasuk says mishloach manos, so maybe it's you're not yotzei if you don't give it a day shliach. So it's a very, very difficult tshuva. And the end of the tshuva, he actually backpedals, he backtracks from that assumption. So he doesn't really hold that way, but he threw it out as a possibility. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Purim, for some strange reason, quotes this tshuva, but only quotes the beginning of the tshuva, where the Binyan Tzion was note that maybe you have to do a davar day shliach. The Mishnah Berurah kind of leaves it hanging like that, and doesn't tell you that at the end of the tshuva, the Binyan Tzion himself seems to back out from that. So those who just read the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah says, that's a tzarachir, maybe you really have to be machpet to give it a day shliach. So that became a very famous chumrah, very popular chumrah. Some people have that, at least one of the shalach manasas that they give, so they give it davka a day shliach. Again, it's not meikra dinra. Moshe Feinstein writes that the whole thing is lohoyot v'amiyol, the whole thing is not really true. It's probably one of those fictions in shalach manas. You don't really need a day shliach, but hovi yatsam epiha, Binyan Tzion and the Mishnah Berurah quoted lahalacha, so therefore there are some who have that practice. It's a little bit of a funny, like it's a little yeshiva shechumrah, where it usually ends up looking like this. You have three guys, like over here, and I really want to give my brother-in-law Shai the Rishalach Manos, but I remember there's a Mishnah Berurah that says give a shliach, so I pull the guy who's 3 inches away from me and I say, you be my shliach. It's not exactly, you know, the imagery of, you know, a shliach, leget, you know, maybe get medina sayam. It's not exactly the imagery of a shliach traveling thousands of miles. He travels about 3 inches and he hands it over to Shai, and that becomes the ayadei shliach. So there are some who are machpits. If you see three guys, you have to create some Megillah walking around with salamis and kugels, so you know they came throughout there in one of Rabbi Sablovsky's Talmidim, so they pull together that chumrah with the shlichus chumrah, so everybody knows that's what happens right after create some Megillah in my shul. So I start to run to the fridge and I'm scrounging around looking for the lucky person. Generally, the rule is I usually try to give it to the person who suffered the most in the shul that year, which is usually the president. So usually that's my minhag. I always give the president the one to put up with the most nonsense the whole year, so at least he walks away with some cold cuts and a kugel for mishloach manos.
You use the Purim shuttle, is that count as a shliach?
The Purim.
You do the school shuttles, you know, Purim shuttles. I don't know, maybe it's just in LA.
I don't know. I don't know what the shuttle is. Gotta tell me a little more about it. What is the Purim shuttle?
You make fun runs to the school and then they.
We do it. Okay, we do it in the shuls. Okay, yeah, we have it. Yeah, so we have our shul. We have that. You know, people give money, etc. So I specifically tell people they are not yaitzim mishloach manos with that for a variety of reasons. That we actually don't even give it out on Purim because nobody has any time to run around on Purim giving it out. So we give it out like on Tatnas Esther, and we leave it out in the shul. If you don't pick it up, so then we end up having to burn it with the chametz a few weeks later.
If it's given out on Purim,
the question is there really? It depends on how much. Is given. If there was, if you have 400 people giving, you know, one hamun, a tash, one apple to one person, so that's kind of hard to believe that would be mishloach manos. So you'd have to make a cheshbon as to whether you would be able to be yotzei. I would say it's a beautiful thing and give money to the schools and the shuls and raise all the stuff as you want, but try to give one normal mishloach manos in the regular way. The zman of mishloach manos is also a little bit tricky. Generally speaking, the mitzvahs of Yom Purim are performed during the daylight hours. The psukim describe how Yom Ha'il Nisgar Menasim, Lasal Sam Yimei Mishnev Simcha Bishloach Manos Yom Ha'Tal Sam Yom. So all the mitzvahs have to be done by Yom. The mitzvah Kriyas HaMegillah, the Gemara says, the beginning of the Masechta was added on, the Rabbanon, they added on an additional mitzvah that you have to lay in the Megillah at night as well. But all the other mitzvahs of Yom have to be Dafka by Yom. The Gemara says explicitly that Sudas Purim Shaso Balayla Lo Yotza. If you eat your Sudas Purim the night before, you're not going to be yotzei. The following night, for sure you're not yotzei. It's not Purim anymore. But even the night before, on your Dalet, if you eat your Sudas Purim, you would not be yotzei. So the same is true, the Poskim, right, when it comes to Mishloach Manos and when it comes to Matalas Levyonim, so it has to be done dafka b'od yom. Mishloach Manos is not that complicated in terms of timing it properly, but Tadas of Yonim actually is a little bit more complicated because many people like to fulfill Tadas of Yonim in Eretz Yisrael. In other ways, so it becomes a little bit tricky. I know we have this issue, let's say the time zones here are a little, even more complicated between the time and another 3 hours to Eretz Yisrael. So I know that those funds that we collect in our shul that get distributed in Eretz Yisrael from Matanis Lev Yonim, so we make sure that they're distributed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael, which is 7 o'clock in the morning. So it's after Netzacham, it's after sunrise in New Jersey, and it's still maybe Od Yom in Eretz Yisrael. In L.A., you gotta up the ante a little bit, so you got another 3 hours, so it's going to get very, 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 very tight. There is a machlekes whether I could be yaitse my mitzvahs on Shushan Purim. So some people who want to distribute money for Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael, so they'll only distribute that money to Aniyim who are observing the 14th day of Purim, not the 15th day. Rosh Hashanah held that you don't have to do that, but others disagree with that. But that's a little bit more of Matanos of Yom. So we're back to Mishloach Manos. So Mishloach Manos has to be distributed on the day of Purim proper. One would not fulfill the mitzvah if it was given the night before. When it comes to the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, the question, who exactly is obligating this mitzvah? So we know that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Yom Purim, the same as men are, or not even not necessarily identical to men, but definitely are obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. That's an explicit Gemara. Afein Hayu B'Yosu Anes. So the question becomes, does that apply to all the other mitzvahs? So the answer is most probably that there's no reason to think that women are not obligated in Sudas Purim, and women are obligated in Mishloach Manos, women are obligated in Matanas Lev Yonim, that women are obligated in all of these mitzvahs. It becomes a little bit more complicated in the following sense. Let's say you have a family, a whole family, so you have men, women, you have a married woman, you have teenage boys, teenage girls, you have everybody, all rolled into one, so how many Mishloach Manoses are really supposed to be given? So the many poskim wrote the opinion that everybody should really be yotzei their own Mishloach Manos. And others claim that perhaps the wife could be yotzei together with her husband. That's one unit. So I don't want to decide what you think the financial arrangement between you and your wife is in terms of other mitzvahs. So like that we do in our home. So whenever somebody comes to the house, one of the women, one of my wife's friends comes to the house, so she says, picks up one of the Mishloach Manos and says, this Mishloach Manos is from me. Not from the Sobolovskis, just simply from myself. This is my Mishloach Manos, and I have each of my kids give a particular Mishloach Manos to one of their friends, and that way, Shalom HaShal, I do not walk around and buy salamis and kugels for all my members of my family. They can buy their own with my money if they so desire. So again, but at least everybody should fulfill to some degree the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos with their own. There is a question that the Rambo raises about Mishloach Manos, how it plays out in terms of Rachman Litzlan of a person as an Ovel, because during the entire year of Avelus for a parent, so one is really supposed to refrain a little bit from kinds of gifts, both from giving gifts and receiving gifts. So the question is, how does this play out in terms of Mishloach Manos? So the Rambo quotes a custom that an Ovel really should not participate in Mishloach Manos, but Lamais is chay in Mishloach Manos. He has to give to somebody, so we should try to limit what he does. So if a person is in Yud Beis Chodesh or Shloshim for a regular relative, so he or she should just give one Mishloach Manos, one, two foods to one person, and that should be their fulfillment of Mishloach Manos, and they shouldn't be giving to 500 other people, and people really should not be giving to them. So there is a question the post came about when we have, in our families, we have family Mishloach Manos. It says, coming from the Kohens, coming from the Levites, coming from the family. So is that also a violation of that minug? So there are different opinions about that. There are many who are makel that the husband is giving the Mishloach Manos, so the wife's not giving the Mishloach Manos that year. How much you have to actually spell that out? Well, no. It's understood that that the Averim are not really participating actively. So yesh v'yesh. Some folks don't like that, and others are a little bit more makel on this. There are more quotes, a custom when it comes to Mishloach Manos, that men and women are not really supposed to be giving Mishloach Manos to one another. We wouldn't want to encourage, particularly single girls, to be receiving Mishloach Manos from men, because the last thing we wanted to have is some kind of a convoluted kind of a shaila in terms of Kedushin. Now, whether this is going to be a real issue of Kedushin, probably not. That's already a much, much loaded topic. But this is probably not the right time for people to be sending gifts to one another. So we'll save that singles event for pre-Pesach or something. We're burning the chametz together rather than having a cross-gender Mishloach Manos to avoid any complications whatsoever. That's an age-old minhag that there are more quotes we try to avoid. So the bottom line is that the mitzvah Mishloach Manos has a couple of nuances in terms of, both in terms of the chetza, in terms of the giving, in terms of who's obligated to give. all of the above make up really the mitzvah mishloach malos. But the real question, a little bit more in the realm of drush, as to what is it about the Yom Tov Purim that somehow forced Chazal to institute this mitzvah? We don't really find this mitzvah mishloach manos anywhere else. The phrase shulchan manos einochal no does appear in Ksuvim in Sefer Ezra concerning Rosh Hashanah in a little bit of a different context. But the mitzvah of mishloach manos that every time has to go around and having a whole tataram of mishloach manos, we don't find that. But any of the Yom Tovs, so my height, Chazal instituted it. Dafk over here, we have other Yom Tovim where there is a mitzvah of simcha, the mitzvah of sudan, and reyes is always a good thing. And there's something unique about Shalach Manas that's connected to Purim. So there is a comment of the Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer was the son of the Ksav Sefer. He has a fascinating insight as to perhaps what it is about the essence of Purim that precipitated the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. And the Ksav Sefer says it really is a throwback to the question what the goal of Sudas Purim is all about. The entire celebration of Purim, which Nakud exactly are we celebrating? So our initial reaction would be, well, we're celebrating the great Nes and the Yeshuas, and that's all true. But there's a fascinating comment in the Gemara, and the Gemara says that there are certain days during the course of the year that a person is not allowed to fast. Under any circumstances, you have to have some kind of a celebration. So the Gemara lists off the days that are not negotiable. Everybody, all Tanoim, agree that these are days that you must have some kind of eating and drinking. And some of the days that are on the list are a little bit strange. One of them being Shavuos, one of them being Erev Yom Kippur, and one of them being Purim. And the Gemara almost seems to link the three together and saying there's something special about these 3 days. And it's not clear what is the unifying theme of Shavuos, of Erev Yom Kippur, and Purim. And if you think about it a little bit further, then you realize right away exactly what the common theme is. These are all days celebrating Kabbalah HaTorah. Shavuos was Yom Shedin HaTorah Yisrael. Yom Kippur, really, Erev Yom Kippur, was the day that we celebrate the Luchos Shnius, the second set of the Luchos. And Purim is what the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos, Had the Kiblu B'mechash Verish, that we re-accepted the Torah at the time of Purim, Kibu B'Kiblu HaYehudim. So these are 3 days that are associated with the Kabbalah Satorah. It's for this reason that you have to have a Suda. You must sell, but to have a Kabbalah Satorah and not celebrate, that would be like not kissing a Sefer. That would be like a terrible thing. Not to have the beauty and the Simcha associated with Kabbalah Satorah, that's not even in the ballpark. So we have to have a Suda. So now comes the Ksav Sefer and says that if you think about it, the notion that demarcated the Simcha of Kabbalah Satorah Purim in contrast to the other simchas, was as follows. The Gemara says that the original Kabbalah Satorah was Kafalem Harkigigis. It was really against the will of Klai Yisrael, to a certain sense. They said Nasav and Ishmael, but we're not quite sure what that means. If it was Kafalem Harkigigis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost forced them, compelled them, Kofan Oso, Achi Yom HaRotzani. It was only in the days of Purim, Kiblu Me'ava. They were Mekabla Torah again, they were Mekabla Me'rotzo, and Kiblu Ve'Kiblu. They were Re-Mekabla the Torah. The Kabbalah Satorah of Purim was a voluntary Kabbalah Satorah. So comes the Ksav Sefer and says, we want to highlight this in the Suda's Purim itself. We don't want to just sit down to a Suda on Purim. We want to make sure everybody realizes, everyone chaps, that we're having a Suda like Kabbalah Satorah. And we're having Kabbalah Satorah, that's Besasar V'Simcha. We're so excited, so happy to be Mekabal Torah. So says the Ksav Sefer that sometimes when you see a person eating and drinking and being involved in things of Olam Hazeh, so you're not quite sure what his mood is. It could be that he's so miserable, he's so upset, that he's kind of just eating and drinking just to forget his misery. Or sometimes a person is eating and drinking because they're just so excited, they're so happy. So what's the litmus test? How do we measure, how can we test whether the person is eating because he wants to be in misery or he's eating because he's celebrating? So the question is, who does he invite? Does he invite anybody? So when the person just wants to be left alone, he's so down the dumps, he doesn't want to be bothering anybody, he wants to eat and nebuch and drink and just wallow away in his own sorrow, his own misery, that's one surah of eating. But imagine a person makes a celebration. They're making a big chasa. They're celebrating a bar mitzvah, and they invite nobody. You're making a wedding, not inviting. You have to invite somebody. Of course, you have to have guests. So whenever you have a celebration, of course, you have to share that celebration with others. So says the Ksav Sefer, that's exactly what Mishloach Manos is. If you look at the Rambam describes this explicitly. The Rambam writes, you sit down to your suda, u'mechalek b'sudos alecheirim. You take a little bit of your food, you take a piece of your meat, a piece of your kugel, and you hand it over to other people. It's not just that we're sending gifts to people. We're sending part of our suda. We're inviting people, in a sense, to our suda. We're sharing our suda with others. Because says the Ksav Sefer, when you share your suda with others, that's the raya brush elachur. That's the proof positive that this is a happy Suda, this is not a miserable Suda, this is a joyous occasion, because that's exactly what the celebration of Purim is all about. It's Hada Kiblua B'Me'achesh Be'erush. It's for this reason that we understand what the Poskim write, a beautiful minig, that before one sits down to the Suda, you're supposed to learn a little bit. So a little bit, I don't know, so much time, a little bit, a few minutes, you learn a little bit something. Why? Because the Poskim says, Lahuta Maisa Ora Vesimcha Vesosim Yikar, Ora Zu Torah. So Ora has to be the definition of the day. The Kabbalah Torah is not tangential to Purim, it's the very essence of the Simcha of Purim, and therefore it's perfectly appropriate that we have the Suda and share the Suda as well. So perhaps more important than Shavuos, and more important than the other days that we celebrate Kabbalah Torah, the Kabbalah Torah of Purim is there to share the Simchas Torah, to show everybody that we're thrilled, we're so excited to be Mekabel Torah. So the bottom line is, we should try to remember to perform this mitzvah Kedas Uchadim, so we could be a little bit makil on some of the things that we mentioned, the two brachas, Yesh L'Hachal B'Shas L'Chag Godol. We can even, and don't tell your wives I said this, maybe B'Shas L'Chag Godol could be Yotzi even without a theme, that is possible. Last we checked that in Poland in the 1600s there were no themes, so... Last we checked, when I was a kid in Riverdale 40 years ago, there were no themes. So whatever, it became a new Minig America, so you could be Yetzi B'Dieved, according to some, we even without a theme, and you could probably be Yetzi without Shalifas as well. I should try to be Yetzi the Din of Kedas HaKadin, and then in addition to being Yetzi the Din, just to have the proper Hashkof, Bak Machshava, what we're trying to accomplish with this beautiful mitzvah. So we wish everybody should have a wonderful, wonderful Simchas HaPurim, and we rezoich it together to Simchas HaTorah.
Amen. Couple questions. Yeah. First, I'm going to